You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
In the United States today, people are driving themselves so hard in their desire to have it all and to find fulfillment that their lifestyles would have scared and even shocked past generations. This critical evaluation was given by the author of a recent article in the magazine U.S. News and World Report. Evidence of this intense desire to experience life in its fullest and to have it all is not hard to find. For example, one sociologist, after studying the activities of many people, even those in his own neighborhood, observed that an increasing number of individuals today want to dangle from hang gliders, raise snakes as pets, jog, learn karate, and take at least one Caribbean cruise a year. In addition, it is now also fashionable to relax in the neighbor's spa in the evening and finish the week at a disco, a motel party, or some other local special sports event. And so now I suppose it's time to ask that final question. What has been the result of all these frenzied activities? More and more experts now agree that these intense attempts at physical fulfillment have failed. Oh, indeed, these activities have certainly brought fascination, but no real fulfillment. This intense stimulation of the physical senses has provided no lasting peace of mind or happiness for the weary soul. Consequently, in desperation, some have now turned to religion, and with the same vigor with which they pursued gratification of the senses, they now also with great intensity and constant activity pursue relentlessly their religious goals. And yet, here again we see an unexpected surprise. The desire to find fulfillment through intense religious activities appears also to be approaching a dead end. The popular born-again movement featured on the covers of major news magazines such as Newsweek and on national television talk shows has quietly disappeared. A major public opinion survey revealed that the popular trend to get religion a few years ago has now subsided like an ocean wave returning to the sea, leaving many confused and discouraged. Their final hope to find fulfillment in religious activities has ended in disappointment, and many now have nothing left to turn to. And so for this reason, we today offer God's age-old, time-tested, and totally reliable answer. This advice relies not on popular religious trends, nor on catchy religious slogans. Instead, the solid foundation for faith that you and I need is established upon the advice spoken by Jesus during his visit to the home of his two friends, Mary and Martha. And during this visit, Jesus laid out the basic principles of life applicable even today. Only a few things are important in life, Jesus said, and really only one. Here Jesus, without any reservations, pointed out that upon which all true life hinges. You see, God comes to us not through our intense religious activities, no matter how sincere these actions and efforts might be. No, Jesus has set the record straight. We don't work our way into God's favor. God comes to us with His own love and His grace in His living Word. God's Word is life, and God's Word ignites everlasting hope in our soul. God's Word is a living and active life-giving agent. It is this living Word of God which initiates saving faith. It is the Spirit in the Word which sanctifies and keeps us in the same true and saving faith unto the end. No wonder, then, that Jesus made such a distinction between the useless vanity of our own frenzied religious efforts and the saving power of God and His holy word. Our most vigorous religious activities can never bring fulfillment, no matter how hard we try. The end result is always weariness, hopelessness, and eventual spiritual exhaustion. Therefore, if you and I desire true meaning and lasting fulfillment in life, we will find it only and alone in God's living Word. No wonder, then, Jesus said also to Martha, only one thing in life is really important. Now today, in order for us to receive the full impact of these words of Jesus, let us examine the brief account as it is reported in the Bible. St. Luke records the beautiful story in his Gospel. On one of his many journeys between Nazareth and Jerusalem, Jesus came into a small village. A woman named Martha had a home there. Martha welcomed Jesus into her home, where her sister Mary was also staying. Now, as soon as Jesus came into Martha's house, Mary made herself comfortable at the feet of her master and her Lord. Mary loved to hear the life-giving Word of God as it came from the lips of the Savior. For Mary, nothing else was important anymore. She had found the true jewel of life. Jesus constantly spoke words of forgiveness and hope, and this was exciting to Mary because one of the most influential religious groups of that day was the Pharisees. And yet they proclaimed only rules and laws, and this made religion very difficult, very undesirable, and extremely burdensome. The word of Jesus, however, was totally different. The message of Jesus was like a sweet fragrance, an aroma of hope and life. The Savior's words were words of strength. They were words of hope and eternal life. And this was the only thing which interested Mary at all anymore. All other activities were of secondary importance. Mary had found Jesus, and she knew that in him and his word there was spirit and there was life. Oh, pray to God that you and I today would have the same faith and the love for Jesus that Mary had. But now let's look once again at Mary's sister Martha. On this particular occasion, the approach Martha took toward Jesus was different from that of Mary. Like Mary, you see, Martha loved Jesus very, very much. But Martha showed her love in a different way. For Martha, Jesus was a very special guest. And so she immediately began to prepare a very sumptuous meal. In fact, St. Luke writes that Martha was so busy that her preparations distracted her from those things which were important. Martha chose to prepare bread for the body, while Mary was feasting on the eternal manna, the words of Jesus, the bread for the soul. One can easily imagine the tension which now began to build between Mary and Martha. Martha, believing that the meal preparation was the most important task at the moment, was getting greatly irritated by Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet, apparently doing nothing. Looking at the situation today, you and I can perhaps very well understand what was taking place. Very often today, a mother asks her two children to help her get a meal ready. One of the children helps, but the other remains indifferent. And this is similar to what happened to Mary and Martha. Martha was busy working. Mary was sitting comfortably listening to Jesus. Finally, Martha could stand it no longer. She was not going to do all the work by herself. And so she confronted Jesus and she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me," Martha said. Oh, but the Lord did not react like we might all expect. He did not admonish Mary for remaining at his feet, because by permitting Mary to sit and listen to his words, this in turn permitted Jesus to serve her, to serve Mary the real banquet, the eternal manna. And so Jesus, in a loving and patient way, answered Martha, saying, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her." Oh, Jesus did not get angry with Martha. Instead, in his usual loving way, Jesus gently and lovingly took advantage of the opportunity provided by the situation. Jesus explained that there are many things that we can be busy with in life. And this is also true for us today. And this is especially true in our activities involving religion and the church. Yes, surprising, and as uncomfortable as it may sound, we can become so involved in religious activities that these actions can even distract us from that which is the most important thing in life, that is, listening to and meditating upon God's holy and living Word. A simple example might be this. After being lost in the wilderness for so many days, weakened and near unto death, you and I might suddenly come upon a restaurant. And yet when we get into the restaurant with all the food around us, instead of eating, we might busy ourselves sweeping the floor and cleaning the kitchen. As a result, we would eventually starve to death. This may sound strange, but according to our text for today, this is what can happen in a spiritual way to people who are very religious, but who are not fully aware of the most important thing in religion. They are so busy with religious activities that they fail to become involved in that which Jesus points out in our text for today is the only thing really important in life. That is, listening to, meditating upon, and feeding our hungry soul upon the bread of life, the living Word of God. And so this brief but dramatic scene from the Bible calls every one of us today to reevaluate our spiritual activities. It is an urgent call by God to you and to me. God, you see, is calling us by His Word to an attitude of sincere and godly repentance. This then should lead us to the ultimate question. Are you and I going to try to please God on His terms or on our own terms? Do we gladly hear the Word of God when it is preached and taught every week? Or do we try to substitute listening, studying, and meditating upon the Word of God with a blizzard of religious activities? As we continue to study our text for today, we can see that both Mary and Martha loved Jesus very much. The difference, however, came in the approach that these two women used to express their love for their Master. On the one hand, in her love for the Savior, Martha decided to prepare and to serve Jesus a sumptuous meal. On the other hand, Mary decided to sit down and to let Jesus serve her the eternal manna, the bread of life, the Word of God. The approach that Mary took may sound odd and a bit unusual to us. In fact, we might even be tempted to say that Mary was just a little bit lazy. But that would certainly be wrong, because the approach that Mary used, that of eagerly listening to the life-giving Word of Jesus, this approach was the one Jesus readily endorsed and greatly commended. This is also the approach that Jesus recommends to you and me. Jesus is asking us to be careful when we become involved in religious activities. Many of these activities, of course, like the work Martha was doing, are indeed very important. But they are not the most important, in Jesus' words. They are not the most necessary. For help and hope and salvation, let us always trust solely, not upon what we can do for God, but upon what God has so graciously done for us in Jesus Christ. It is the power of the crucifixion cross of the Lord Jesus Christ which saves us. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ which has the power to raise us up unto eternal life on the last day. Our best religious efforts can never accomplish for us our salvation. Oh yes, like Martha, it is oftentimes difficult for us to put God's Word first and to relegate our efforts to a mere response to His love. It is difficult for us, for you and me, to accept this because popular religion encourages people to work hard and to try to win God's affection. Popular religion, much that we see every day in the media, does not prompt us to trust totally in the inspired words of the Apostle Peter, who wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Simply stated then, Peter was saying this, if anybody is truly born again, it is not what he has done, but what God has so mercifully done for him. Oh yes, popular religion tempts us to overlook or even reject the inspired words of the Apostle Paul, who wrote, "For God himself has delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sin." And so, as we see the crucial eternal life and eternal death difference, represented respectively by what God does and by what we try in vain to do, we are then again firmly reminded of the occasion described in the Gospel of John. On that occasion, great numbers of people pressed in upon Jesus. These people wanted to find out how to earn God's favor. They asked the Savior, "What must we do to do the works of God?" Jesus surprised the crowd. He unexpectedly turned the tables, and he tipped all traditional thinking about religion upside down when he said, "The will of God is for you to believe." You see, the people had asked Jesus for a list of things that they might do, but Jesus said no. No, Jesus said, focus instead not upon what you can do, but upon God's sincere and soul-saving word. Yes, my friend, Jesus admonished the crowds who were seeking ways to earn their salvation from God. But then Jesus said, the work of God is for you to believe, to have faith, and to trust in the mercy and the salvation power of God. Oh yes, my friends, oh praise and thanks be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he graciously reminds us once again today that there is only one thing in life which is really important, and that is this: to take within us and to nourish upon by faith the living Word of God. Of course, there are many other activities in life, and many of them are even religious, which keep us very, very busy. Nevertheless, these activities, as sincere as they may be, all pale into total insignificance when compared to the power and effectiveness of reading, studying, meditating, and feasting upon the eternal manna of life, God's eternal Word. And so, my friend, may I lovingly encourage you today to take as your own the encouraging word of Jesus that there is only one thing in life which is really necessary, and that is to nourish, to strengthen, and to feed your body and soul on the life-giving and soul-saving Word. This Word of God is for you the eternal manna, the bread for your life now, and the bread for your life eternally. Amen.